Hi, my beautiful queens and kings. It is your one and only Queen Dish here. So I am joined by a special guest today, the lovely Dr. Shamil S. Bernard, also known as the original Love Doctor. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I hear the accent. I feel like I got another yardie. Are you a yardie? What are you?
Yes. I'm an island girl. So I'm from Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes, honey. Yes, all yes. The way. All yes. The West Indian love, all the way. Yes.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. And let me just give them a little bit about you. And then I want you to go ahead and tell them a little bit more about yourself. Okay. So we have the Queen, Dr. Shamil S. Bernard, also known as the original Love Doctor. She is a certified international speaker, vision goal boarding specialist, infidelity recovery mentor, qualified family life relationship strategist, and CEO of Majestic Kingdom and the lovedoctor8.com. Woo! Woo! That's a number of hats right there. You know, we got to snap for that.
I know, right? It's a lot.
Right.
When you read it out loud, I was like, wow, your cup is full.
Yes. So tell the queens listening, and yes, we want to give honor to the men. We know we have some of the men listening, but tell the ladies a little bit just more about you in your own words.
Okay. So basically, I am Dr. Shamil S. Bernard. I'm known as the original Love Doctor because everything that I do is defined as love. Because for me, love is the foundation of everything, right? So I help couples rewrite their love stories, especially after infidelity. So in a nutshell, you know, if you have a dream, if you have a goal, if you have a desire for your relationship, or your marriage, I help you rewrite that story because a lot of people don't know what true love is or what it should look like. So that's me. I'm also a mother. I forgot to say that. I'm a mother and a wife.
Okay.
So with those two hats by itself, the cup is full. And then by extension, I help families. Yes.
Okay.
So I got my own family first. And then I help other people. Yeah, really rewrite their stories. So that's me. In if we were to define what I do.
Okay. Well, we love it. Okay. So you're dealing with relationships, you know, I know about relationships and it's quite the topic, right? So, you know, from what I've seen, you know, about you and what you do, especially the fact that, you know, you mentioned infidelity, is that coming from a personal experience? Where did this kind of come from for you?
For me, infidelity really, really started in my own life. I went through the very first relationship I was in. Well, I wouldn't say my first, but my first love, as we put it. I was supposed to get married to him, only to find out that he was in a relationship 5 years prior to ours. And I found out 3 days before he was actually getting married to another person. So that in itself was painful. So this is me in shock because I am passing. We used to live in the same community. So I am passing by his house because my grandmom lived after him and I lived before him. So I'm going to my grandmother's house only to realize a bachelor party is taking place. And it's his own. And I'm like, okay. So that was my first encounter with infidelity. And then you would think that I learned my lesson, right? No. I got married and I faced it again. Okay. But this time, it rocked my entire world because I was older. I had my daughter. being so mature now and helping other people rewrite their love stories, I then realized that, you know what? I was helping so many people rewrite their stories that I lose sight of my own story. Mm. And that is when infidelity for me became my birthright, I should say. And I started helping other couples discover why they do what they do and how to reverse the cycle.
Right. I can understand that. I mean, I just know. Me, whew, I feel like that's just a deal breaker. I can't bounce back from that, but I salute you queens that have the courage and the strength to push through having to deal with that. You know, if anyone listening has ever had to deal with that. I mean, I dealt with it like back in high school, but I mean, not, you know, at least in my sort of mature adult years. So yeah, I definitely take my hats off to you for that. But let's talk about that for a second. You know, what are some of the reasons based on the research and, you know, what you do on helping people, like what leads to that or where would you say that comes from? Like, you love somebody and then he just cheats on you? I mean, where does that come from? What's your perspective on that?
Okay, so when it comes to infidelity, I always tell my clients, I have, most times people say infidelity is a deal breaker. And that's me as well, because when I said my vows, I told my husband, you could do me anything except cheat on me. Listen, I'm staying through disconnection, communication issue, conflict. I was even willing to stay through fighting physically with each other.
Right.
But I am not going to stay when it comes to infidelity, because it's the same thing that my mother faced. Mm. And that's why she and my dad got a divorce. So it was like a generational curse for me, right? So I told him, I said, listen, I never wanted to get married, right? That was my story. After my first encounter with infidelity, that was me. I just wanted to be a successful single mother. I didn't have any children, but that was my goal, right? Find a man, get a baby, and that's it. He don't need to stay, because mm-hmm. that heartache was so different for me, right? Mm-hmm. And my husband, he changed that for me. He always wanted to get married. So he asked me several times before I actually decided, listen, we're going to do this thing, right? And I said, okay, I don't mind getting married, but watch this. I'm going to deal with anything. I'm going to work through it, but I'm not going to work through infidelity because the pain is too much. Mm-hmm. And his thing was, well, I just want cooked food. So you just have to make sure that there is a hot meal and I am going to be happy. So right. We agreed on that at the altar. But let me tell you what changed. When we got married, to me, everything was nice. It was good. And a lot of times we get married and people don't tell us what marriage really is or what to expect. So we go in with all these expectations and then we find the truth about marriage mm-hmm. and what it entails. And that's when the pain really starts, you know? And what I develop is a system. Mm-hmm. Most times people cheat because of choice. I could give you all the fancy terms. We could talk about different type of infidelity. You and I could sit down and have a nice girl chat, but let's be quite honest. People cheat by choice. Infidelity is a choice. It doesn't matter if your mama cheated, your daddy cheated, if your whole birth line coming down the road cheated. It is a choice.
Amen.
So when people ask me all the time, so why you think he cheated? He chose to or she chose to. Right. It is a choice. And as there is something that always happens. When you find out this person cheated, sometimes they try to flip the script, right? They go in victim mode and make you feel even worse when they cheated. So sometimes I tell my clients, I say, listen, God gave us three reasons to leave, right? Mm-hmm. He said abuse, abandonment, and adultery. So you don't need to pay me a dime. You could walk right now. But when infidelity happens, two things I always tell people. you either at that point, I know you're, it's paining, I know it's hurtful, I know you feel like giving up, but there is two questions you need to ask yourself. Am I going to stay or am I going to leave? Because that question is going to determine what is going to happen next, right? Trust me when I say this, because let me tell you this, if you decide to stay, get healing immediately. I mean, as in, do not stay a week, a month, a year. No. Find someone that can help you all heal, because both parties need to be healed. Sure. The unfaithful partner and the betrayed partner, not sure. Just one. Both need to heal in different forms and in different ways. If you decide you're leaving, leave immediately. Because if you don't, then you would stay and live in pain for the rest of your life. Mm. So what I did is develop a system. If you say we're staying, make sure that your partner is on board with that information. Because you could stay there physically, but your heart is single.
Yes, yes.
And you don't want that, you know? Yes. So what I did is I developed this framework when it comes to love. That's why I'm the love doctor, right? I developed a framework. It is loving God, loving yourself, and loving each other. Mm-hmm. When somebody loves God, immediately it changes choices. Immediately. Because you make better decisions. Because, you know, everything I do is going to reflect the person that I say I love. And then you're able to love yourself. A lot of times people say, I love myself, and I am practicing self-love. We would see this around social media all the time. I am practicing self-love. Well, truth and in fact, they are practicing self-care, which is doing the hair, doing the nails, doing the makeup, dressing, walking, strutting. But that's not self-love. Self-love is a reflection of our habits. What do you do when temptation comes? What do you do when pain comes? What do you do when you're in a situation and you need to resolve this now? What do you do when the thing that you are actually missing is in front of you? That's what infidelity is. That your wound is now showing up in real life. That emptiness is what that person tries to fill, that void that you feel inside. And most times people don't realize that. So when you get attracted to your roommate, immediately you get excited, you think it's love, when truth and fact, it's lust.
Right.
Yes, yes. Listen to me. So you have to be careful. I always tell people about those wonder twins, I call them, lust and love. Because lust always make withdrawals, but love make deposits. Is that person really depositing into your life? Or is it a withdrawal? And most times when you ask yourself that question is when you realize, listen, because they are taken from you, your family. Because listen to me, that pain different, you know.
I can tell you about
anxiety attacks, nightmares. I wrote a book on it, 10 Success Secrets to Heal After Infidelity, because I had nightmares, couldn't sleep any night. I would fly off the bed because I would constantly be pitching all the women. And my spouse was a serial cheater, meaning every Monday morning, girl is a different woman. Wow. So you can tell me that pain.
Wow.
Yes. So I would just stay and I would start to gasp for breath. I can't breathe. But I had a friend, you know, because this was in my younger, at the beginning of my marriage, I had a friend who was really, really good at calming me down, because I would cold sweat and tears would be flowing from my eyes. I'd be like, this is it. I'm done. I'm walking. And every time I go home, he would give me assurance. Please give me another chance. I would change. But the mistake I made is what I always try for my clients not to make. If I had to make that decision at that time, whether to stay or leave, I would have made that decision immediately, not dependent on my emotions, but dependent on the person I'm dealing with. Do you think that they have the ability to really change, to really adjust and be better? If not, then don't stay. Painful. Don't stay for kids. Don't stay because what mama gonna say. Don't stay because what people would think.
Yes.
Girlfriend, pick your bags up and leave.
I agree.
It's not gonna change. Yeah. So I mean, but now I've understand how to help people heal. And healing doesn't mean I'm gonna help you stay. Whatever decision you make, That is what healing is going to look like for you.
I love that. Oh, I love that. Honey, I'm just a snapping because, woo. No, this is what we need to talk about. You know, a lot of times we talk about, you know, sort of like the shiny objects and, oh, this is great and wonderful, but we're not authentic and honest about some of the yucky side, some of the not so pretty side, right? Or infidelity, if you will. And that these are conversations that we need to have because, I mean, a lot of women, unfortunately, have been cheated on, and men too. But women, you know, we're talking about my queens, and a lot of women have dealt with this, you know, and you being open and honest about that, certainly I imagine for the women listening that can relate, you know, they're going to probably feel better. They might sort of, you know, take a breath and sort of feel refreshed because it's like, I'm not the only one. A lot of times women feel like they're the only ones going through things, you know? And so this is why we're here, you know? So they understand, no, we're all going through a lot of the same things. We may not talk about it, but trust me, behind closed doors, I always say, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. And I think a lot of women and men, but you know, a lot of women are dealing with different things that we're just not being vocal about. So thank you for, you know, sharing that. You know, you talk about the anxiety attacks and you know, what you went through. You know, if there's a woman going through that right now, you know, what would your advice be to her and how she should handle that?
My thing is always be solution oriented. I always tell people that. No matter what crisis or circumstance you're facing in your relationship or marriage, always be solution oriented. I think for far too long, women sit in relationships that are dead, that aren't going anywhere, with hopes, dreams, and imaginations that do not exist. Mm-hmm. Your partner is not changing, he's not trying, he's not showing it. And you sit there because we have kids together. Or you sit there because I'm studying, the neighbor would say we really would make it and we didn't make it. But truth and in fact, so many other people looking at you and you don't know. You're in pain holding back your entire life based on somebody else's opinion. Mm. And you can decide, listen, there must be a solution to this madness. I always say that. Have you ever looked at Scandal? Now, may not be the best example because she was sleeping with the president, right? Somebody else has gone. And we are dying penalties. Right? So it may not be the best example. But you know which part I love about that? Olivia Pope, she would solve people's problems. She was a solution strategist. No matter if you're guilty, innocent, or in between, she would solve your problems. And I always tell clients, the very first thing you need to do is decide, what is the solution to this? If I stay and really do a self-assessment, do you think my partner would be on the same page? Have that conversation. People say, how do you have that conversation if he's arrogant or if she's arrogant? How do you have that conversation? There's always a way. You know your spouse better than I do. There's always that way to say, babe, do you think that this is going to work? If you're dealing with a narcissist or you're dealing with an ignorant person or you're dealing with an abusive person, this conversation is going to be completely different. You need an intervention, right? Yeah. But if you're dealing with somebody who you can at least communicate with on some level, you have that conversation. Maybe you think you want this marriage to work. And sometimes people say that with their mouth. But I always say, Granny always told us, action speaks louder than words. Yeah, so you can tell me any day, anytime that you want to change, you want to do better. But if your actions doesn't say that same thing or speaks loud enough for me to hear it, then you're not going to change. That's when I have to make a decision. And I want women or queens, as you address them, amen, to understand that you're not too tall, you're not too short, you're not too big, you're not too small, you're beautiful. And somebody is going to love you beyond your imperfection, beyond your weaknesses. Stop sitting in broken relationships. Pick yourself up. and organize your mindset and change the way you think. Because everything that happens to us, I believe, it didn't happen to us, it happened for us. And you just fill in that blank. For us to do what? To be better, to follow our dreams, to help some other woman, just like I am doing, maybe to impart in our kids. Why did that happen for you? Right. Solution oriented. So I want each woman.
Ooh, I love that. I just to look for that solution. Staying in broken relationships. Honey, tweet, 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 tweet. Oh my gosh. Stop staying in broken relationships. I just had to say it again because, you know, that is my thing. And it's just like, ladies, you have to know. I mean, I know there's something in you and you're just making excuses or maybe a lot of women, you know, don't want to be alone. And so they stay for that reason. You know, unfortunately, we know a lot of women have low self-esteem. They don't love themselves. And so all of these, you know, things contribute to why a woman might stay in a broken relationship, you know, but, you know, this is why we're here, ladies, because we know that you deserve better. You deserve better, you know, and you have to start to really to believe that and act from that space, knowing that you are worthy and deserving of the best and that you do deserve a great relationship with someone who loves you and honors you and is not a serial cheater, you know, or a narcissist or any of those things. You know, there are plenty of great men in the world. You know, I know based on the news and in the crazy modern dating world that we live in, it may seem a little distant, but your beliefs dictate your reality. You know, and if you, and in addition to that, words have power. And so if you're believing and you're speaking, oh, all guys are dogs and there's no good men in the world, then that's the reality that you are creating, ladies. Okay. And so that's going to manifest for you. You're going to be, you're basically sort of affirming out into the universe that all men are dogs and there's no good men. So of course, you're not going to meet good guys because you don't believe that there are, right? And I'm here to tell you, and even the original love doctors here, one, there are good men, but yes, you do have to love yourself, okay? She talked about self-love. And yes, of course, you know, self-care is important, but you do have to love yourself. You do have to believe in that, I would say. And I do want to add that words have power. You have to be mindful in how you're speaking to yourself, but also you do want to be mindful as to how you're speaking about the opposite sex, because you can't have a sort of a contradicting belief where you're saying you want, say, a husband, but then you just say, all guys are dogs. Like it doesn't work that way. Am I right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. And you know, that's one of the things that, because I am very open with my clients in that I do not accept everyone when it comes to doing work on them because, well, let me say, when it comes to healing and therapy, because what happens is most times we say, I want to fix this. I want a better relationship. I want a better marriage. But truth or not, in fact, we keep speaking negative towards our relationship or marriage and even our lives. Yes. We would say, if I leave him, what is going to happen? Nothing. Right. Anything happen after you leave him is up to you. You've got to frame your mindset.
Yes.
And the way you think and act. There is an instructor I had. He died due to COVID. Yes. And there is something he always said. He said, commit to something, whether it be your marriage, your life, your fitness journey, whatever. Commit to something. When you commit to it, he said, always show up. If it means showing up in your life, showing up in your marriage, showing up where your mindset is concerned. And when you show up, make no excuse. Mm. So it doesn't matter if your period is on you. As he would say, go get a tablet, get a safety net, get a pads, you know, but okay. Do what you need to do. But you got to show up because you committed to it. And that is something that really stuck with me for a long time. And I decided, you know what? It's time for me to commit to it. If you're committing to this relationship, then we shouldn't have to deal with infidelity.
Right.
Because you're committed. But it's because you lack dedication. You lack commitment. Now I have to deal with your wounds. And now I become a wombmate because of the things that you keep showing up with. I mean, it's sometimes it's so much. Woo, as a woman, we have to deal with, right?
Woo, you know, this is a topic we can go on and on and on
yes.
about.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, I saw on, of course, your website, you have sort of an array of different things. Talk to us just a little bit about, you know, some of the things that you offer.
Okay. So besides, I do relationship strategy, meaning I help you organize your life. I have a 3-day love life makeover. That is basically where you come to me and we spend 3 days together, whether it be virtually or in person. And when we meet, we really, really, I call it love lifestyle makeover. Because something as simple as sitting by the dining table with your spouse, that has left the home a long time ago. We no longer do that. We sit on the couch, on our beds, we play with our cell phones and we scroll. And we no longer talk to each other. Right. So sometimes your spouse says, oh, babe, I'm going to meet you. I'm going down to the town. I'm going to the grocery store. And then 15 minutes later, you're looking in the house for him or her. And they're like, you're calling. Where are you? Oh, I told you I was going. You didn't even hear. Because we are so absent from the home. So it's a love lifestyle makeover. Yes. So we get to the nitty gritty of what are the roots of the issue. In that program, in May and June, I've got 2 retreats. I have a retreat for only women, which is Loving Herself is the name of that retreat. Okay. And for the couples in June, we have Love Never Fails. Okay. So I'm the love doctor, so it's all about love. Yes. Okay. So those are the 2 things I have going on at the moment. Okay. I'm working hard on.
Okay. Yes. So yes. I hear about the couples. What about us single folks? What do you have for us?
Well, for the single folks, that's why I have Loving Herself.
Okay.
Yes, that's only women where we dive deep into self-love. I mean, I have a nutritionist on board is going to help those reverse illnesses. I've got somebody who is going to teach us about ageless beauty. I'm going to have somebody who's going to teach them, I should say, about investing into a million. I mean, so many. And of course, I'm going to be dropping the gems on them, recognizing and identifying true love. So we ain't going to be broken for too long again.
I know that's right.
Yes,
right, honey?
Yes.
I know that's right, honey. Queens don't settle and no more broken records, honey. Mm-mm.
No more. Yes,
no
I
more
love
broken
that.
Records, honey. We don't do that. Well, I love that. So I just want to go back a little bit to a little bit of what we discussed earlier before we start to wrap up here. You know, because relationships is something women and how we're conditioned, you know. I talk about it in the very first book that I wrote, which is the No More Broken Records book, but you know how women are conditioned with the fairy tale, right? Mm. Guys didn't get that conditioning. You know, we're conditioned with the fairy tales and growing up to look for Prince Charming and we want the 2 kids and the white picket fence with the dog, you know, and it all has to be before 30, you know, so that's the magic number, you know? And so unfortunately, you know, that when we take that type of conditioning into adulthoods, what I find is that causes a lot of times how that manifests is, of course, in us settling, because what we're focused on is the fairy tale and sort of this idea, right, of love as opposed to the reality of it, right? And so that might cause a woman to, you know, miss the red flags, ignore them. You know, stay in the broken relationship, as you say, you know, and it's that conditioning to me is a lot of the reason as to why a lot of women are making, unfortunately, some not so favorable decisions when it comes to relationships. Being that this is also your arena too, and you have dealt with infidelity, talk to me or talk to us a little bit about your take on women and settling and how you feel like, or your belief and maybe what we can kind of do to sort of break that down and sort of deprogram ourselves from that.
Okay, so the first thing I would say is, I would tell a woman, I say, listen to me, your attitude is the product of your belief. So you need to first, as a woman, adjust your attitude. A lot of times we go into relationships and we come from a previous relationship and we bring that old attitude into a new relationship. So sometimes we don't even give that new relationship time to grow and expand and strengthen. It's only two things supposed to happen in a relationship. It's either you are stretching me and helping me grow, or you're feeding my triggers and my trauma. Mm. So as soon as you dive or you start a new relationship, you're supposed to always be able to identify. It is a process. If you decide to start a new nutrition program, or you decide you want to lose or gain weight, and you would hire a fitness professional, a PA, a personal trainer, a PT, sorry, or whatever, same way it comes to your relationship. When you decide you're going to start this new relationship, you get that person who is going to now sit with you all and do the work. Because if you go into a relationship empty, then you have nothing to pour into it. Mm. You have to be full for yourself. And most times we go into relationships as women empty, yes, and we look for our partner to pour into, yes, us. And when they can't pour into us, that is when the issue starts and the problems. But if you are full and I am full, our cup, both of our cups are running over, we're able to adjust. We don't, yes, fight up with being alone. We don't fight up with being worried or concerned, because I am full all by myself. So I would tell women, make sure that you are full as a person.
Yes.
How can you? Single, this is a gift. You know, a lot of people think it's not, but trust me, that is when you work on your time. You get to feel the best, look your best, date yourself. When last you met you? I always ask my friends that. Have you ever met you? Because you met Tom, you met Dick, you met Harry, but have you ever met you? Have you dated you and spent time with you and get to know what you like, what you don't like? That way you could recognize red, green, orange, and even blue flags, because now you have met you. From the beginning, as I see that I go to a restaurant and I sit there, you, both of us, we're dating, and I say to you, I ask the waiter for something and he makes a mistake and you just rush and start a quarrel with the waiter. That is a red light right there for me. Something is wrong. He needs some work, because if a mistake on the menu caused you to lose it, honey, you ain't full yet. We need to work on that. But we as women ignore all these flags, we ignore all the triggers, all the traumas that these people are facing, and we don't do anything about it in the early, as in get help or healing. Because remember, a beautiful relationship is formed strength by strength. It's like when you go to the sea and you see those waves nice calmly coming towards you, mm-hmm, it forms just like that, strength, yeah, by strength, until you have a tornado and you realize. But where that came from, it was little pieces or little waves, small waves that added to that big, that final thing, you know? So I tell women that this is a process. Always follow the five steps when you start dating, which is we become friends first. And when I say friends, I say really friends. No sex during friendship. Do you sleep with all your friends? No, you don't.
Right.
So this is your friend. We are friends. I want to know you on that level. When I could sit with you and put up my 2 feet on you and we laugh and we talk and we share snacks, let me see if I can handle you as a friend. And then when our relationship starts to grow, then we move from that step, we start now to date. we're dating. So it's a little bit more than friends. So now I start to open up to you. I don't open up by friendship yet because we're just friends. You don't tell your friends everything because they're not at that stage or level to handle everything. Then from there, we move to courting because now I want to date you. I see my life with you. And I want to get to know you a little bit more. That's when I mama bear, baby bear, children bear, everybody bear, right? And then from there, we move and we start. Now we get into, we decide, well, he decides or you, however you all want to do it, to each his own. We want to get engaged. And then from engaged, well, we keep skipping steps. And when you keep skipping steps, we move something from friendship to marriage or no friendship whatsoever. We start a court and then we get married. No, there is no time limit. There is no amount of time, I tell people. Each relationship is unique, is authentic, is different. So each person would know when is that time, how fast I should move or how slow I should move. Again, based on how much time I have dated me and understand me as a person. So now when I could communicate with me, I can now communicate with you. But if I don't love myself enough, how can I love you?
Amen. Amen. Amen, honey. I am in agreement. I am in agreement. Okay, queens. To my queens listening, I am in agreement. You know, the friends, I definitely agree with, you know, the being friends. I would say for me, because people are friends doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to be compatible, but at least that's the foundation, you know, at least we have that there. Because I hear, you know, people talk about, and other, you know, coaches and things like that. Oh, you know, you want to marry your best friend. And I'm like, not all the time, not all the time. Sometimes you just need to stay friends, you know,
true, huh? Because my best friend is male, but I'll never marry him.
Right.
I love him very much as my friend. He is good as my friend. We are close as my friend. I can share anything with him as my friend. But marrying him would never be an option.
Exactly.
So that's why I said there are steps. So from the time we realize, you know, we're good as friends and somehow this wouldn't work out, we can leave it right there.
Right. Yeah, no, some friends, ladies, are just supposed to stay friends. So there is, we are in agreement. There's truth to that, and that might work, but I'm not working in absolutes. It's not an absolute guarantee that if you marry your best friend, things are going to work out. We don't believe that. But yes, the foundation, at least, is, you know, having a friendship, we do believe that that is a good thing to have in general. Yes. But and quickly, I just want to know a little bit about you. Okay, so this is off the relationship topic here for a second. Okay, so going back to your childhood. Okay, what was your favorite TV show?
That's So Raven.
Oh wow! Okay. Okay. I think we're telling our age here.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's so, well, I mean, that would not have been. I love Flintstones too.
Oh, okay. Yes, the Flintstones.
Flintstones. Yes, I love that. Flintstones.
Oh my God, who did? Yeah, Fred and Barney and Wilma, right?
Yes. I love the Flintstones. Yes. That was the it show for me.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it. Okay. So then what was your favorite cartoon character?
I think I love Wilma, you know. I think she was so, as she took such good care of Fred. You know, it was always drama and that type of thing. I know, I don't know, I just love Wilma. She was the character for me.
It's funny. Oh my gosh. Okay. That's a good one. I haven't heard. I love it. I love it. Okay. Okay. All right. What about, so that's the cartoon character and the TV show. Did you have, like something that you would always do in your childhood? Like, was there like a favorite park or, what did they call those, theme parks or something like that? That was kind of a your thing to do back in the day?
Well, to be honest, my husband says that I grew up too fast. So even I started selling at 7 years old. I always loved entrepreneurship. So I was always into business. While all the other kids would be playing and going to parks, and you know, I live in the island, right? So it's always hot, right? So I while everyone would be doing that, I would be thinking about how do I make another dollar? And I think it laid heavily on the fact that I grew up very poor.
Okay.
So because of my poverty, I was always looking at the future. Like I lived in the future until I started to make up stories. That's why now I tell people I have 8 personalities. Because in different situations or at different seasons, you'll see a different person. And you'll be like, who's this now? They always ask me that. Girl, who's this now? Mm-hmm. Because I show up different in different situations because I was forced to be to act or to conform at different times based on my situation. Mm-hmm. So I would pretend to be rich and pretend to have it all together at one point. And then there would be this part of me that would just cry when all hell is breaking loose. And I mean, that is what really made me get into relationships too. When my father and my mother separated, I wanted to get them back together. I was just like 6 going on 7 years old. And I couldn't find anyone to help them. And in my country, mental health was not a thing. So nobody was talking about this. I'm 7 years old. I'm riding the bus because my mom don't have transportation to pick me up from school. And that's so I have to do it on my own at 7 and reach back home. And she'd wait by the bus stop for me to just make sure I'm safe. And because of that, I grew up in such a way as I was always thinking about, mommy, when I get big, we are not going to live in poverty anymore. I'm going to buy you this house. We're not going to have to stay by people. We're not going to be, you know. So I lived in that frame of mind. And, you know, it happened in such a way. I did everything I told I would. Thank God. But, you know, I wouldn't say I experienced having fun. I did with my cousins. But I don't think I've lived my childhood, experiences like I should because of my status. So now my daughter is homeschooled because of that. And I allow her to live her childhood, enjoy her childhood experiences because I felt like I didn't get to. My mother's fault. It was my fault because I always was trying to think about how can I help us move past this pain of poverty. Yeah.
Okay, well, that is understandable. So then are you into the theme parks now? Do you like go to theme parks, get on roller coasters or no?
Well, in the country I live in, we ain't got no roller coaster. but I do, we go on vacations now in other people's country. And when I, let me hit you this joke. So I went with my, the very first time we traveled, to a first world country, which is Canada. And my daughter, husband, and I, so we went to this theme park, Canada's Wonderland. And I am so excited. I can't wait to experience the joy of those roller coasters we saw on television. This is like some years ago, right? So rich now.
Oh, gosh. And
my friends over there, because I have friends in Canada, and they are like, Shamil, we got to do this. So there is this kind of, this roller coaster boat. And I jump onto my daughter, my husband and I, and we're sitting in the boat. And picture Gilligan Island type boat, right? And the three of us on this side, my daughter's at the end, I'm in the middle, and my husband's on the next side. So my friend's like, no, put the child in the middle. I said, no, put me in the middle, right? Because I am more scared than the child. In the middle of the people boat, I am so ashamed. I scream louder than my child and husband and everybody on the boat at the same time. So this is me bawling, mommy, help me. Jesus, I'm going to die.
Oh my gosh.
I was so ashamed. I screamed. Now I am squeezing my daughter at the side of the boat. And she's like, mommy, calm down and go around. You're squeezing me. But I am so scared. And they, all my friends, they are laughing. Listen to me. I could not wait till the end of that ride. When I came off, I became the bag handler from then on. I was holding everybody bags because I told them, I said, I don't care what y'all say. I am not going on another ride. That was it there for me.
My gosh. So
we went to like theme parks, like 3-4 parks after that. Mm-hmm. And your girl then went on any ride. Mm-hmm. Not even the kiddie ones. Because I don't know, I was so scared.
I'm just glad you at least got to experience that. Oh my gosh.
Well, tell me about your experience, though. Have you ever been on the rides?
What'd you say?
Yeah. Have you ever been on the rides?
I do roller coasters. I'm all for the adrenaline, and I'm an adrenaline junkie. So yes, I've jumped from a plane. I've gone skydiving. I've been bungee jumping. So I've seen the big, tall, I can't remember which country it's in. I know Australia has a couple of them, but yeah, I need to jump from like the high place and like over the water. I need to do that next. Yeah. Yeah.
You are the real MVP. Listen, if you were close to me, I would have hugged you and squeezed you. You go for the boat. But girl, right here, I wouldn't be jumping from any place. Because I told them, because my husband was like, please, let's go and do it, right? Because I had people doing it. And I'm like, suppose I forget to pull my parachute. He's like, how could you forget that? Then you
forgot to do that.
And I'm like, well, that's exactly it. When I'm going to die. So please, we have to do it. And my daughter, she was like, the first time we traveled anyway, she was like 4 years old. And she was on all these rides. She's coming off and going. And I was like, why don't I have the tenacity like they do? And so, I don't know. Listen, my heart left my body. I am telling you, it walked off of that boat. And walked on those girls and left my body.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. I know. I'm ashamed.
Okay. Well, we got that part. What's your favorite food?
Girl, if I tell you.
Oh, gosh.
I love to eat.
Everything.
Everything. But I really love spaghetti and meatball. I love spaghetti and meatball. That's my thing. I love salmon fish, too.
Okay.
But I love to eat. So, like, in my country, my husband and I, we have been to every restaurant and hotel there is. Because I love, as my friend on WhatsApp always tell me, you are too greedy. Because I would say I'm an emotional eater. So I eat when I'm happy. I eat when I'm sad. I eat just because I am on this podcast with you.
Oh my gosh. Every excuse.
Every excuse to eat. Yes. I am that friend that you can call and I would be like, what you doing? I say, oh, you want me to come and bring food and drinks and maybe we can eat? My friend's like, you know, Shamil, it's not all about eating, right?
You don't have to eat every event, right?
We could do other things too. But I mean, eating is like my, you know, they always ask you to give, what are the things you like to do, your hobbies? And most times people would have, I like to sing, I like to dance, I love to eat. That's my hobby. Okay, but we wouldn't tell anybody, right? We keep on this to ourselves.
Okay, all right. And last one, easy one. What about your favorite drink? Do you like wine? Do you like liquor? Do you like a combination? Or are you just kind of water? I'm a wine connoisseur, so.
Ooh. I love Bailey's.
Okay.
I'm a Bailey's girl. I love milk drinks and Bailey's is it. I love wine. more for a month when I'm feeling either I had a win today or I'm feeling, you know, so just so in love with myself. I'll have a glass of wine and sip, but I love Bailey.
Okay.
Love Bailey's.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you. We just, you know, like to have a little bit of fun. Everything doesn't have to be completely serious all the time. Yes. So just like to let the listeners learn a little bit about you. So what is one last piece of advice that she would give to a woman in regards to either it can be that she, you know, is in a relationship that is a broken relationship, or it can be to us single gals, you know, something for us, you know, or it could just be sort of your mantra for what you think a woman should do relative to, you know, pursuing her goals and dreams and living her best life. What's your last piece of advice for us?
I would say that life is always going to punch you, but don't stay on the ground. Take each punch, but don't stay on the ground. If it means you need to block, you need to bend, you need to hide, don't stay on the ground. Remember that you are loved. Somebody loves you, even if it's the person that you want to love you, you feel they don't love you. Somebody loves you and somebody is waiting on you to really give your gift, give your time, give your energy, give your show up for them. You know, don't stay on the ground taking all these punches, whether you're single, married, engaged, common law, whatever is your relationship status. Don't stay on the ground. Be that authentic you. Get up, construct a plan, come up with your vision, and go for it. Cry if you must, but don't quit.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you, Queen Dr. Yes. Shamil S. Bernard. Let them know how to connect with you. How can they connect with you?
Wow. It's so easy to find me on any platform on social media. You look for The Love Doctor with the 8 at the end, the number 8. The Love Doctor 8, because 8 is new beginnings. So if you want a new beginning in any area of your life, you can contact me at The Love Doctor 8. I can't wait to meet you all. Love you so much. And thank you so much, Queen, for having me. Yes.
That's all the West Indian love here, honey. I love it.
Oh, where are you from?
So my family's Jamaican.
Oh, you're Jamaican. Okay, right. So you were born in the U.S.?
No, I was born in the U.K.
Oh, the U.K.? But I'm not hearing.
Oh, no. We're from New York.
Oh, you're from New York. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, because I'm saying, but I'm not hearing that English.
No, we're from New York.
You love it there, though? You love it there? Would you?
I was in Jamaica. The last time I was in Jamaica was maybe 2016 or 17. We all, you know, me, mom, and my sister went out there back then, but I haven't been since there. We've been trying to get a family reunion, but you know, who knows? You know how we do. So, yeah. But yes, just wanted to say big up, you know, West Indian love. I love it. I love it. But yeah.
I love it too.
I love it. But
nice.
Yes, but thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you coming on the show, on the podcast today. I'm sure, I trust and believe that they will get what they need. You know, you said exactly what someone listening needed to hear, and myself as well. So I just thank you so much. I'm very grateful and thankful for you showing up for yourself and making a decision to come on here and bless us with your wisdom and knowledge. And you heard it from her. You can connect with her at The Love Doctor 8, as in the number 8, yes. The Love Doctor 8 on social media. This is Queen Dr. Shamil S. Bernard. And we say thank you again. Many blessings.
Thank you so much. Love always.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.